Hi, good evening. We've got our show coming up in just a minute or two here. Our guest tonight's going to be Karen Sauer. This is going to be great. You know, it's like, well, she's not some big Hollywood star. No, but she's going to help a lot of big Hollywood stars. So stay tuned for that. You've got your Widom's World this week.
Yeah, it's going to be about acoustics. So I'll show some examples of products, my opinions on acoustic treatment, and we'll let Dan chime in about his magical VO studio suit.
That's right. And we're going to talk about some of the successes that Jorge and I have had this week in dealing with other people's studios, which is, by the way, what we do, in case you were wondering. Sure. So stay tuned. We'll be right with you here on East West Audio Body Shop.
He's the home voiceover studio engineer to the stars in Los Angeles, California. A Virginia Tech grad whose knowledge of the latest recording gear is second to none. He's a voice actor and the home studio master, hailing from Buffalo, New York. His home studio skills and knowledge of voiceover recording is unmatched. When Dan and George talk shop, people listen, and the talk continues tonight. Welcome to East West Audio Body Shop. And now, live from his high-tech facility in Santa Monica and his penthouse studio in Buffalo, here are George Widom and Dan Leonard.
Good evening, I'm Dan Leonard in the East.
And I'm George Widom in the West.
And together we are East West Audio Body Shop. All right. You like the new mix I did for the jingle there?
I dig it, man. A little more reverb. It's like it's a little something spaciness to it. I don't know.
I added some dimension to it.
Dig it. It was fun. It's cool.
I did take multi-track recording. I know how to do that. Anyway, welcome to the show tonight. And as usual, another fun, informative show. A pile of people have already showed up for this.
I love it.
Gotta love it. Gotta love the live audience. Gotta love seeing all our friends in the chat room. If you want to get in the chat room, how do they get in there? Well, it's like right at the top. If you've clicked into our homepage there and you've clicked into the live stream, it says chat now. Click on that and sign in there. And you can become part of the discussion as well. And
that's right.
Ask questions of our guests and ask questions about us or of us, which we will probably ignore, depending on if they're interesting or not. That's part of the great interactivity of the show.
I love it. That's the best part about doing a live show is everything that makes it truly live. Warts and all, timing issues, little problems, but really it's about this chat room and how you guys interact with us, and it makes the show move along and keeps us honest. And
that's right.
It's also great to have you guys answer questions when I'm like, what is the answer to that thing again? I'll ask the chat room.
Yeah, so somebody look that up for us real fast.
Exactly. So can I do show and share?
A show and share?
Yeah, like a show and tell.
Go for it.
They call it show and share now, apparently, in middle or preschool.
George, you have something to show and tell?
They don't do it in middle school, do they?
No, we really don't.
All right, here's my new... I don't buy many tools that often, only when they're absolutely necessary, but... seem to be worthwhile to get one of these now, which I'll show you this thing.
All right.
It is a Bostitch finishing nailer, and it's a 2.5-inch finish nailer, so it'll handle up to 2.5-inch finish nails.
Wow. Putting in a roof or?
Well, believe it or not, I'm going to use this for installing acoustic panels, all those ATS panels.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of using the brackets they come with, which is incredibly tedious and frustrating.
Right.
The last few times we've done big jobs, we've used air nail guns to toenail in the panels. So like if you're doing a ceiling,
you come in
from the side, and with a finish nail, the nail head pops right in and disappears practically. But what's cool about this, we usually use traditional air nail guns. So you have to have a compressor, you know, and the hose, and the compressor's big and heavy, and it's super loud.
This thing has
a battery pack, but it's also, that's just part of the way it works. There's also a gas cartridge that goes in here. So it's actually a gas-fired nail gun. And, you know, there's warnings. I don't know what's in the gas cartridge, but there's warnings saying things like it's highly flammable. So it actually, I think what it's doing is when you hit the trigger, it's literally making a tiny ignition and making a kind of explosion and blowing the nail in. But this thing is amazing. It weighs 4.5 pounds, this nail gun. I don't know if you've done much with nail guns, but If you're working overhead, this thing is going to be fantastic. So that's my toy, and I get to tool, and that's
it's your toy. You I'm going to be using it with it
tomorrow to install panels in Rachel Ehrenberg's closet, so that John Taylor can come and do his morning shows,
cool,
live from Oxnard, from out where she lives. So, so he's calling it Holly Nard. Yes. No, not that. Yeah. Holly Cod, Holly Nard, Holly something.
I only remember Oxnard from Johnny Carson because he said his tailor was Omar of Oxnard.
Yeah, exactly.
See, now if I want to hang up stuff, I just use my mustache push pins.
Ah, it works perfect for little things.
It's perfect, yes. Yeah.
Brilliant, you know, man.
Did I show some of the stuff I got last week? Here's here are mustachios. They are sticky notes.
Awesome. Mustachios.
And of course, I showed the bag clips, the flavor-saving mustache bag clips.
I've got my mustache attached to my banner up here.
I see that. That's very, very nice. Well, all right.
What do we do this week?
We've got Karen Sauer's going to be on the show a little bit.
Yeah.
And she's going to talk about keeping your voiceover business organized. That's important because people like me who are in the voiceover business and about 10 other businesses, how do you keep yourself organized? Great tips for doing that. And she's a professional. She is a voiceover administrative assistant. Right. Pretty unique and niche market title. But she's going to talk about that. Now, we've had some interesting stuff go on this week. We've both had home studio successes. You know, I mean, we get them every week, but there's every now and again, you get a few of those aha moments. Like, you know, someone sends in a demo of something and you're hearing,
right.
What exactly. What is going on in there? And, you know, and you have to troubleshoot these issues. And then, but the way you troubleshoot them is by asking the right questions, like, what microphone are you using? And this particular client had one of our favorites, the Shure PG42, which is a USB condenser mic and one of the top of the line condenser mics. So why is it going? Good USB mics will have their own audio input on their preamp because they got a little preamp built into them.
They have their gain control. There's a gain knob right on the unit.
Exactly. And, you know, once I remembered that, oh, yeah, there's a gain control on that, along with a bass roll-off and a 10 dB pad on there.
Yeah.
Which is pretty nice for a...
Pretty amazing for a USB mic.
For a USB mic. So I'm like, all right, why don't we turn that up 3/4 as opposed to off, gone.
Because the computer, so she was on Windows, right?
Right. She was letting Windows do all the work.
Yeah, it's digital.
You do not want it to do. You don't want any of that gain from there. You want the microphone driving as hard as it can.
Exactly. That's really important. I was playing with a new app because one of my clients that I just got off the phone with, Les Wooten, who's actually talked about watching the show tonight. Hey, Wes, or Les, if you're watching. Yeah. And he told me about a new recording app for the iPad that's made by Rode. It used to be called Fire, and then Rode bought it. So now it's just called Rode Rec, R-E-C. And so one little function this thing mentions actually in the input settings is digital gain, or digital, they call it digital boost.
Right.
So, you know, what you have to keep in mind a lot of times on Windows and Mac, but often Windows, it seems to be more of an issue. People will tend to be adding all the gain at the computer side, digital boost or digital gain, instead of adding the gain at the business end, which is at the microphone.
Right.
So, yeah, if your mic has a gain control, definitely make sure you're using it. If you're using the Apogee mic, it's got a gain control.
It does.
If you're using the Audio Technica 2020, it does not.
It does not.
It does not. Right.
There, you've got to do it through there.
Yeah. So.
Yeah.
Anything else? Did you have any other successes?
Well, I had a near disaster that I had to talk about.
Oh, okay.
Which occurred back here. I was.
Did it involve water?
It did not involve water. No. Can you hear me? Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So I was in my booth, and. I finished recording and I grabbed for the handle of the door. It comes off in my hand.
So the door's, the door's shut now. So you're in there.
Yeah, I'm in here. So I'm like, how the hell am I going to get out of here? And this isn't the first time it's happened to me in broadcasting either. But, you know, I'm in there and I'm like, I'm pounding on the floor. And usually that just means the dog should shut up if they're barking at something like a leaf. You know, nobody answers me. So I'm like, oh, wait a second. I've got my cell phone. So I call downstairs and I say, Jacob picks up the phone. I say, can you come upstairs and let me out of my closet? There's a long pause. And he comes upstairs and he's like, opens the door. The handle had come off in my hand. So I had installed, I work for a lock company. I do a lot of narration for a lock company. I know how to install these things. So I put a heavy duty lever on here and that's not going to fall off anytime soon. So I am not getting stuck in my booth again. One of the minor disasters. I mean, this closet is 25 years old. I mean, it's, you know, eventually those things wear out, especially if you happen to use your closet a lot.
Yeah, exactly.
Anyway, so what kind of successes have you had?
Well, I guess one that stands out. I had a troubling client this week that just seems to be having a lot of technical issues. And no matter what I do to help him, it just seems that technical problems keep coming back. You know, we've tried different audio interfaces. You know, we went from FireWire to USB. Then I got a mic preamp that has a built-in optical digital output, and we ran that straight into the Mac to bypassing USB and FireWire, and he still started having problems, right? So I was just like, what is this guy doing or not doing? And what I realized what he wasn't doing was he wasn't shutting down his computer like ever, okay?
Oh, and, well, that's the problem.
And I talk about this all the time, and I reminded him numerous times to do this, yet he wasn't doing it. And I realized probably the reason he wasn't is just out of convenience, which is a nice way of saying laziness. And it's lazy. When you want to leave a lot of windows open and not have to save stuff and remember what you had open, you tend to want to leave your computer on all the time. And I will absolutely admit I'm guilty of this. I leave my computer on all the time. But I shut it down before I do anything mission critical, like the show, for example. I shut everything down and give it a fresh boot and get it up and running. So if every day for you is mission critical because you're doing spots for Conan O'Brien and you're doing stuff for ABC and you're doing like really high profile jobs that, you know, the higher the budget, the less patience there seems to be for technical issues.
You ever notice that?
Yeah. You ever notice that? Do yourself a favor and just, you know, give yourself the advantage of having a machine that has a fresh boot with no memory, nothing in memory, you know, totally clean. And start with a fresh boot up, and you'd be amazed at how much more reliable and stable your system will be. It almost always fixes stuff. I'll tell you, it really does. And I'm not talking about sleeping. Don't sleep the computer. In fact, sleeping in general for audio computers is not a good thing. In fact, right in the manual for Pro Tools, for example, in the README, should I shut my ringer off?
You could. Mine is.
Not mine, not tonight. You know, usually it's a matter of sleep. Sleep will often screw up your USB audio devices because when the machine goes to sleep, it will still be sending audio power to the USB device, but at a trickle of the volt normal power. And so that thing sort of goes, what? It kind of loses communication with the computer. Then when you go to record on it next time, it doesn't work right. It acts funky. You have to unplug it, plug it back in. So Shut it off, boot it up. Problem solved. So that was the big revelation this week, you know. So everything else was just little things, but that was a biggie.
Well, you know, a lot of little things add up to a lot of things, and they all add up to experience. And you know, you and I are probably do more home studio stuff than anybody else on God's green earth and on this little blue planet. And it's amazing the things that we find. And, you know, there are certain commonalities, and then everybody's room is unique. So we never know what's going to happen there.
That's right.
All right. Well, we've got more coming up. We've got, Karen Sauer will be with us in just a little bit. We've got Widom's World and a little promo for something I got going on tomorrow night. So we'll see you in just a minute. Don't go anywhere.
People send me audio all the time for me to listen to find out what their studio is like. You wouldn't believe some of the things I hear.
You could save up to $2,325.
First identified a primary measuring point.
The imidacloprid molecule in Stress Shield.
With a massive database of hundreds of millions of electronic parts.
Son el poder natural de este producto.
Oh my gosh, it is still so very nasty.
No two home voiceover studios are alike. Neither is any audio chain. Maybe your computer just sucks, or there's lots of noise in the background. What does your studio sound like? On Tuesday, December 10th at 9 o'clock, VoiceOver Extra and the Home Studio Master present Home Studio Wizardry. Submit your demo and take your problems to the wizard for just $47, including a complete recording of the whole webinar. To register, go to voiceoverextra.com. We'll see you there Tuesday night, December 10th.
Now back to EWAPS with Dan and George.
No, it's George and Dan.
No, it's not. It's Dan and George.
George and Dan.
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 George and Dan.
George and Dan.
George and Dan.
Dan and George.
George and Dan.
Dan and George.
George and Dan. Dan and George.
Your mind. All right. All right. Well, you know, if you're going to my webinar tomorrow night, if you have a piece of audio to send it into my Dropbox. And those of you who know me know where my Dropbox is at homevoiceoverstudio.com. Just click on the specimen collection cup and you'll get in there and we'll have yours on the air and I'll tell you what's wrong with your studio. And I will also explain and show how I am able to analyze the sound of somebody's studio and how to make it better.
Fantastic.
Absolutely.
Don't miss that one.
I won't. I better not.
Shall we roll this little Widom's World?
Why don't we?
All right, let's do it. This is my little bit about acoustics, and after that, we'll have a little discussion. And any questions and any input from the chat room, we'll be happy to entertain it as well. Here we go. Hi, this is George Widom reporting from Widom's World. I really appreciate you guys sending in all the questions. It's been great. I love having all these topics to discuss. Adding fuel to the fire and keeping my gears turning, it really helps keep the vlog moving forward every week. So I've got a couple questions this week that are related, so I thought I'd group them together. Tom Conklin, voiceover, and Kira Gurney both had questions about acoustics for inside of your studio. Tom says, I'm getting ready to move from a corner space to a small studio in an old bedroom. It's a fairly small bedroom, and I will be looking to treat it acoustically soon. But my concern is not the noise coming in from the outside. That would be soundproofing, right? But my voice bouncing around the room off the walls. That's acoustics. Could you please discuss at some point on tips on how to determine the best location for acoustic foam paddles? And should you cover every inch of space within the with foam to get the sound that you want? And Kira asks, great vlog post, George. Thank you, Kira. I would love to see one on the best way to determine your needs and treat a newly built standalone studio, a noise-sealed room inside a room, for acoustics. Any product recommendations would be helpful, too. Absolutely. Be happy to do it. You know, there's a lot of detail that goes into acoustical treatment of a studio. But I can give you a couple quick rules of thumb and, you know, a couple products to look into. Personally, I prefer not using foam acoustical panels. And there's a couple reasons for that. One, I don't like the way they smell. Although that problem's getting resolved a bit because I know companies like Oralex are starting to use soy products and things to make their panels more ecological. But again, I don't like foam the way it smells. Two, I don't like the way the foam looks. It looks so garage band or, you know, professional recording studio, and it'd be nicer to have it feel more like a home studio, be more comfortable. So the looks of foam, not so great. Three, another reason I don't like foam that much is the fact that it usually has to be glued in place. And gluing foam to walls is pretty nasty because you have to use some sort of a strong adhesive. It usually smells really bad. It can be really messy if it drips anywhere. It can be incredibly hard to remove later. So if you're renting, I would say completely avoid glue. And so you end up having to usually use staples or something to hold the foam up, which ends up not looking as good. And you have to remove all the staples later. So if you have to take it down. So, and the last reason is foam, especially if you get the what most people end up buying, 2-inch thick foam, it's just not nearly as effective at absorbing sound as acoustical panels made out of some different materials. So I just so happen to have behind me an acoustical panel made the way I like them made. And this sucker is wrapped with fabric. So it's wrapped with fabric, and so it looks, has a nice clean look to it. It looks, you know, it looks like it would look nice in your studio, right? But the key to this product working as well as it is, it's not this fabric. That's just for looks. It's what's inside. And what is inside this panel is, in this case, and I've left it open on the back so you can see. Normally this should be covered with fabric or something. This is made out of something called Roxul. And Roxul is a mineral wool acoustical material. It's insulation, but it's not made out of your usual fiberglass product. And the reason I like it is it has less toxins. The glues that bond it together don't really have, or have very low or no formaldehyde content, which is kind of nasty stuff, which is found in your regular pink or yellow insulations and stuff. So this stuff's a little bit nicer to deal with. There's also panels you can get made that have cotton inside instead of this, that has zero negative or zero bad content in regards to toxins. So you can check out one resource that makes these with cotton panels or cotton baffling inside is atsacoustics.com. And they make them to order. They have them in stock sizes, but you can get them custom sizes. You can even get custom designs on the fabric. You have different fabric options. And I really love their product. I find it really cost-effective, and it's one of my favorites. Oralex, of course, is a really big company in the industry making these things. They're one of the innovators. And their products are really top-end. They look incredibly good. The fit and finish is second to none. And they've got a really great studio design resource on their website to help you choose the amount of acoustical panels you might need for the interior of your studio. So that's also a good resource. Both companies, actually, ATS Acoustics and Oralex, have studio design helper tools on their website to help you determine how many acoustical panels that you need. But you don't need them on every square inch of your room. You really do not. I find the rule of thumb is you need about 60 to 70% of any adjacent wall or ceiling surface covered with material. So if the carpet is if you have wall-to-wall carpet, that's, you know, at least a portion or a sixth of the room or so covered. So now you just need materials on the wall and maybe something on the ceiling if you have a flat 8-foot ceiling right over your head. I'm lucky. My ceiling is vaulted, so the sound goes up and it kind of bounces off the ceiling and bounces around the room. So I don't need it as much in this space. These panels back here, this is a vocal booth. They call it, I think, the voice cabinet. And ATS Acoustics makes this thing, too. It screws to the wall, and it can be open and closed when you're not using it. It's a pretty clever design, and if that seems to suit your kind of space, it might work pretty well for you. The only issue I see with it is that it often is not enough on its own. You often will need to add a little bit more absorption to that room to control it adequately for voiceover needs. Because in voiceover, we need to have a really dry, direct, dead-sounding recording without any echo in it. So I hope that gives you a little bit of a boost in the right direction. Again, I can go into a lot of depth, and I'm obviously available for consultation if you'd like me to help you specifically design the acoustic treatment in your booth over at vostudiotech.com. In my services menu, I have a booth tuning service that you could check out if you're interested in that. And I really appreciate your input that you guys are giving me for the vlog. It's great. And if you'd like to keep feeding the show and keep us fed with new ideas, just send an email over to widomsworld@edgestudio.com, and I'll be glad to answer your topic in an upcoming show. Make sure you subscribe. Click on that subscribe button at the bottom of the screen so you never miss another one. And I look forward to seeing you next week. Thanks for watching.
Yeah, I got my little ad for Edge in there.
Yeah, let's see.
Nah, we're done.
Done.
No make goods.
There you go, Edge. yeah, so I hope you know, that was helpful. If you guys are regular viewers, a lot of that stuff probably wasn't news to you, but What I didn't get to show off in there because I sold it off before I did that video was studio suit. So where do you think studio suit fits into that equation, Dan?
I don't know. But studio suit, well, you see, now you can hear me in a very loud, it's sort of a dead room. I've got some Oralex acoustic panels in here and stuff.
Yeah.
But you'll find out as soon as you put some studio suit behind a microphone, it becomes very, very dead. Why?
Yeah.
It's a secret. but we've got this stuff in 5x8 panels. It's recycled military stuff, and my entire studio is lined with it. Can I do a quick demonstration while we have a minute here?
Yeah, man, we got time.
Okay, because I can actually change my audio input here.
Switch to the booth.
I'm going to switch to the actual booth. Let's see if things go absolutely haywire.
So one thing I think that the VO Studio Suit, why it works so well, is the fact that the panels are very, very large.
They're large, yeah.
So they cover a tremendous amount of square footage. And so you put two or three of those in a small space, and it deals with a tremendous amount of the issues.
It's perfect for a closet, and here's why. And I should play the video from today when we were sanding the floors in here. But anyway, we go into a closet, and now you can hear how incredibly dead it is in here. And it's totally neutral. I believe in having a totally dead room because you can always add ambiance later. You can't take it out. And this room is almost completely lined with studio suit. And as you can hear, there's no reverberation here. It doesn't sound like I'm in a booth at all, does it?
No, it doesn't have a boothy sound, that typical boxy sound, you know. Every small space does have a little bit of a booth characteristic because it has a little bit of bass reflux because it's a small box. And so you'll get a little bit of that. So I usually will tell people to high pass filter their recordings if they're in a small space, or pretty much always high pass filter everything. Because in a house or an apartment, you always have low frequency crud, you know, that you want to get rid of. So,
yeah.
But yeah, it's very effective. If you want something that's fast and easy and doesn't require customization and lots of hardware to install, I mean, that stuff works great.
There's no question about it. Chris, we're having the kitchen floor resanded right now.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You sent me a sample earlier. Did you hear the sample I sent back after I processed it?
No, I haven't heard that. Okay. I figured you throw a noise gate on it, it would be fine. Exactly. Until he's like right underneath my booth.
Yeah.
It's like a...
Yeah.
Yeah, but exactly. The floors are going to look nice, and that's much. It's been an awful lot of construction around here the last month or so. So
nice.
All right, enough chit chat. We want to talk to Karen.
Yeah,
not that this isn't fun. I mean, this is why people come. They want to hear you and me talking shop.
I love
that's why it's East West Audio Body Shop.
We're going to keep doing it.
We're going to keep doing that. But Karen Sauer will be joining us in just a minute, and we've got lots of interesting stuff to talk to her about. So stay right where you are. We'll be right back on East West Audio Body Shop.
VO Studio Tech. Recording made simple.
Hi, I'm Peter McHugh.
This is Jim Tasker from Los Angeles, California.
Hi, this is Bill Ratner in Los Angeles.
Hi, this is Scott Rummel here in Yorba Linda, California.
Hi, my name is Rick Wasserman.
Hi, this is Tom Kane.
Hi, my name is Vanessa Marshall.
Hi, my name is Zurich.
Hi, I'm Mary McKittrick.
Randy Thomas chiming in.
Hi, this is Joe Szymanski.
Hey, this is Rick Robles.
Hi, my name is John Patrick Armstrong.
I was turned on to George by none other than Don LaFontaine, who always swore by his health.
George is absolutely awesome.
ISDN, Source Connect, Phone Patch, FTP, you name it, Georgia set it up.
It's really the best thing I've ever done for myself. I feel free, safe, fearless, like anything is possible in here.
Unless you like to look for opportunities to waste time, call George.
And he did all of that, long distance over the phone and the internet.
I'm very happy with George, and I cherish him.
Thanks, George. You make it easy.
And now back to the only webcast done with two cans, two geeks, and a string. East West Audio Body Shop with George Winham on his end in the West and Dan Leonard in the East.
All righty, we have returned once again. It sounds like someone's knocking on the door, George.
Yes. Who do you think that is?
I couldn't guess. Anyway, what's welcome to the show? A great friend of ours. Yeah, she's Bob's daughter, but we like her as she is, and that's Karen Sauer. Good evening, guys. Joining us from North Carolina.
Hey, how are you tonight?
How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing great. How are you guys?
We're just wonderful. If you've been watching the show, it's like it's Apollo 13 every week. Anyway, you've got some unique stuff to talk to us about. Now, you are a virtual voiceover assistant or a voiceover virtual assistant. I guess it works either way, doesn't it?
Essentially.
Oh, okay. What exactly is that? What exactly do you do for people?
Well, I do a little bit of a lot of things because I find that a lot of voice talent don't have time for everything that they need to do. So I'm able to do a lot of clerical tasks, specialized tasks like research for new clients, new contacts. I've done a great deal of data entry into people's CRMs. I do audio editing and audio proofing as well. Pretty much any assistant type task you can think of, except for sales calls. That's the only thing I don't do. But, other than that, there's not really any limits on it.
Well, we need to get married because my wife won't do any of that crap.
Exactly. I'm in the same boat, man. I try to get Amy to do some of this stuff. All right.
I bet that's important stuff. Now, you've got a few things that I'm sure you can share with a lot of people. Like, how important is it to put just as much attention into the operation of your business as it is the technical side? I mean, we all are, you know, we talk about technical stuff here, but you talk about the business of voiceover.
I think it's absolutely vital because if you don't balance all those parts, you know, you may have the greatest training in the world and a wonderful sounding booth, but a crappy marketing machine so nobody knows who the heck you are.
Good point.
You may not have your contacts organized so you can say, hey, it's, you know, client number 7's birthday. I should send him a little note. You know, just little details like that are the difference between, you know, making a decent living and making a great one and a great impression, you know.
There's no question about that. I mean, organization is a tough thing, especially if you're disorganized, like I am 90% of the time. But I'm running a pile of different businesses here. How do you get people to organize themselves? Obviously, as you were saying, that you know you use client relationship management, and you keep a different account for all the different people you're helping. So there must be a lot of stuff going on there in one day.
There is. I definitely am always working with multiple people on multiple projects. And as far as people organizing themselves, I find that everybody has to come up with their own system, and I kind of have to adapt to the way that they do things because every talent does things differently. Every talent has to, you know, one talent wants, you know, every breath in their audiobook reduced. You know, one talent wants a tag put on every one of their CRM entries. You know, it's just, it's very much adapting to the moment, to the situation, to the talent, and trying to help them see maybe different ways of doing things, which can be challenging, but I try to help out when I can.
Well, what are some things that people can do to try and basically try to get themselves a little bit more organized? I find writing things down doesn't hurt.
Yeah, writing things down is a big one. For me, actually, it's that individual thing, because like for me, if I type out a list, it doesn't do it for me. I can't remember the typing. But if I hand write out a list, for some reason, that's the little trick with me to remember the things that I need to do. It's finding what things work and sticking with them and making it into a system, getting it into a habit, because it's like developing habits, developing repeated actions that can help you keep going along with it and keep maintaining that level of organization with your business. You know, some people have different programs that they prefer, like Nimble, for example, is a CRM that a lot of people like, but you know, somebody else might not care for that. And it's, like I said, it's a very individual thing based on what actually helps, and don't be afraid to try something new.
Can you define real quick what CRM means?
Yeah.
Client relationship management. It's different right. kinds of software that people use to keep track of the names, the addresses, the emails, the company names, titles, everything that are involved with people and who they work for. So
while we're on the topic, that was one question that popped up. Just
it was the first question, and you just jumped right over.
And you were talking about it, but do you mind expounding slightly on CRM softwares? Yeah, do you recommend them, and which do you think is good?
I haven't actually personally used one because I haven't really had a need to up to this point, but right. I'm actually moving towards using one myself. I've worked with I haven't, like I said, I have heard great things about Nimble. I haven't worked with it directly. I have worked with FreshBooks. I have worked with why can't I think of what that one is? It's called like Basecamp. Basecamp.
Oh, Basecamp. Yeah, yeah.
That's it. It's like a there's a whole tier of like separate sites under Basecamp, and I can't remember all of the names, but
that's
they're
like
all
a collaborative tool too, right?
Yeah, because that's what I ended up creating an account to work with the guy who had a lot of data entry for me to do.
Mm-hmm.
What else have I?
Can you use Google Drive or Google Docs in any ways to help with CRM?
Yeah, I definitely think so. Because there's so many different options of things available. You can make folders, you can make spreadsheets, you can make any kind of thing you need to notate and write down. And you can access them from anywhere, really, anywhere you have access to your Google account. So I think that would be an excellent option.
Yeah. So I find sticky notes are really good, especially mustache sticky notes.
That is awesome. That is definitely awesome.
Stick them on the screen. Also, in Mac, you've got Notepad, which is really fabulous because you could just flip it up there, and here's what I got to do today. And you also have Mr. Calendar. Calendars are great things, aren't they?
Definitely. I actually recently started using a dry erase board calendar. That's helped me out a lot because, I have a calendar in my phone, but, you know, this is a visual, like, I can see, okay, today is this, and I have a due date over here. Okay, I have, you know what I mean? It's a more visual thing for me because that's how I process things better. And that's helped out a lot, a little trick of my own. That way I can look not only with this month, but next month. And
right. Yeah. I think a problem that a lot of people have is, as you're saying, trying to find something that works for them. Because I have all of those things. I mean, I haven't tried client relationship management software yet, although I'm seriously considering it. And our associate producer, Anthony Gettig, is going to push me in that direction because he does every week. I remember trying the dry erase board. I have the calendar. You know, maybe it's because I'm doing too many things. For someone who's not doing as many things, where they are strictly doing voiceover and maintaining the relationships with their clients and trying to find new clients, perhaps it's a little easier to keep to one system.
It is, but it's also important to remember that you don't have to do it all. Because it's very easy. I mean, it's our business. It's our livelihood. I mean, you're the one who's bringing in the bread on your table most of the time. So it's very personal. And that's something I have to work with is I have to develop a trust with people. Because if people don't trust me with their audio, if people don't trust me with their passwords, you know, if people don't trust me with their things, sure. Then we can't work together. But the thing is, you have to remember, you don't have to do everything. If you can let go like that, it can make a big difference, you know.
Yeah, and I that's probably the case. A lot of people don't want people to know what you're doing, you know. I don't think my wife and I still know everything that I'm doing in here.
Well, somebody mentioned it somewhere along the way, and this is the term that really resonates with me, is that you have to become a mini CEO of your company.
Yeah, that's very true, because you have to be able to compartmentalize, the word didn't want to come out,
right.
All of the different things that you have to do, because it's so many pieces to all of the things that we do every day.
Yeah.
Oof.
Yeah, it amazes me. Now, how do you help people? How many clients do you have right now?
I'm currently, let's see, I've been doing a big slew of audiobooks lately because I find that right before Christmas, everybody's like, hey, I want an audiobook to be out for the holidays, you know?
Right.
But I have regularly active clients, probably about a dozen people I've worked with that like have come back. For example, I'll get an editing gig, but then I won't get one for a while because the person didn't get a book with a stipend.
Right.
Right.
So, or they haven't put in the research I've done for them, so they don't need me until they do that. And then they say, oh, hey, I need more, you know?
Yeah.
But then it's probably three or four dozen if I added in everybody I've worked with. I mean.
So that means you've got to be incredibly organized yourself.
Pretty much.
Yeah. So how did you get into doing this? I mean, as you were saying, you know, you come from a family of voiceover. You were sort of born into it. But why into organization? Where did you find yourself falling into this particular niche? And it's a unique niche in our particular business.
Well, it's kind of funny because I originally I was going to do theater for a living. And my particular position was stage manager. And if anybody knows anything about theater, stage managers are the people who organize the crap out of everything. They're the ones who are responsible for everything that happens during the running of the show.
Yep.
And I realized partway through my college career that I didn't want to do theater for a living because the art was fun, but the scrambling for gigs and stuff was not. So I ended up not doing that. And then I was doing a little work for my father, helping him write some scripts for an announcing gig of his. And he was going to this convention called FAFCON 2. And he said, Karen, come along with me and, you know, talk to people and sell them your services and do the things you do for me for them. And I said, okay. And basically it just sort of developed from there. I've been really, kind of feeling it out as I go along and figuring out what my strengths are. And originally I was kind of trying to do a little bit of too many things. And I realized I needed to specify more directly rather than be a jack of all trades and master of none. But it's kind of snowballed from there. And it's funny, speaking of being Bob's daughter, one of the measures of my personal success has been when I first started, you know, I always introduce myself as Bob Sauer's daughter because that's how people would know who I was. But now I'll say, oh, yeah, I'm Bob Sauer's daughter. And people will go, well, I saw your blog post and that's how I know who you are. You know, they're like, I don't know who Bob Sauer is. And I'm like.
Yeah. How about that?
Go with it.
Yeah.
No, that's, oh, I do. That's I do. Great. But the first time that happened, I was like, wait,
three
what?
For a loop, huh? Three for a loop.
Definitely. But it's funny how like it's like a rock in a pond, you know. I don't really do a lot of marketing, and it's just like people just talk, and apparently they talk well. So,
yep. Well, we know your father, Bob Sauer, is very proud of you.
Well,
and that's essentially how he would sound as he was saying it.
I almost heard him.
So, I mean, so what was it like growing up in the Sauer household? We've had your dad on the show several times and he's one of our favorite people, but what was it like growing up in a house of voiceover?
At one point he had his studio in my bedroom and he's probably, if he's listening to this later, he's gonna do a little facepalm because he knows where I'm with this story. And he used to do a show called Let Us Worship, which was a Christian worship music show. And I remember at like maybe 10 or 11 at night hearing him edit it. And I still twitch when I think of it because I heard him say he was going over and over one little bit and he was going, let us worship, let us worship. And I just gets to me, you know. I got to do some crazy things like, I remember how proud I was when I was very little, I was maybe six, I was eating Skittles in a studio while Dad was doing an interview, and I could eat them so quietly that I didn't show up on the microphone. And I thought that was the coolest thing. And I remember that egg crate foam, you know, that used to be in the radio studios. And I thought that was so interesting, and I used to poke it. Just lots of unique experiences, lots of great memories. Like getting to grow up around microphones, getting to do commercials, getting to do, to meet some of the Christian artists my dad did work with. It was very, it was a special way to grow up, I think. And definitely a unique view on the world and the work that we do. It's one of the reasons I do what I do, because I have such a unique view on it.
Yeah, well, we've got, you know, lots of people in the chat room are commenting on how great you are at what you do. One of the things that you do is editing. Now, editing is something that, you know, I take a great deal of pride in. But when you're doing an audiobook or a lot of long format narration, and you're doing a lot of other things, I mean, if you're doing commercials and you're doing maybe several books at a time, great to have an editor, and especially an editor that's been doing it for a little while. But you've got to understand, when you start editing somebody's stuff, you've got to understand that person's style. And because, I mean, as we're reading an audiobook, you sort of like take on the personality of the author or the characters that are in there. Obviously, when you're editing somebody else's material, you've got to sort of do that, don't you?
Oh, yeah. I started asking fairly soon after I did a lot of audiobooks for samples of people's own editing, so that I can kind of try to get a sense. I mean, some people are mouth noise Nazis, and they want every little click gone. And some people, they sound like they're chewing popcorn while they're recording. And, you know, I mean, I have to learn what they want, what their standard is, and try to adapt to it as best I can. Yeah, it's very important to adapt individually and to get a sense, to get a feel for their rhythm. Because everybody reads differently. Sometimes people have enormous pauses, and I have to learn the difference between an enormous pause that's supposed to be there and one that should be tightened up a little bit.
Just a little bit. That's right. Well, it's a great service that you offer to do that. And do you do proofreading too?
I do. Actually, I really like proofreading because I happen to be able to read really fast, so I can actually tear through a whole book in you know, a few hours, and it's fun to use this like random little skill of mine to tear through the book. So
oh, absolutely. Do you have a website?
KarenSauer.com.
Oh, come on now. I mean, we're getting a few on in the chat room at voiceoverassistant.com.
I have more than one URL that redirects there. I typically tell people my name because they can usually remember that part. If you Google my name, my website's the first thing that pops up. So that's why I use my name to send people directly there.
Okay, great. Smart. Yeah. If anybody else has a question for Karen, just throw it into the chat room and our assistant producer Anthony will throw it to us. Now it's easy for voiceover people to feel like they can do everything themselves. I mean, I certainly feel that way.
Sure.
But I'm not 25 anymore, and the brain doesn't work quite. I mean, I used to be able to keep four or five things juggled in my head at a time, and now I don't see quite as well, nor do I think quite as well. But I still think I can do it. How do you get somebody like me who's doing so many different things? I mean, we've got, everybody knows all the different things that I'm involved with, but how do you keep someone who's really, really busy and highly diversified organized?
Well, it can be a fair amount of challenge because it really has to start from you, not me. Because right. I can give suggestions, I can make comments, but you know, if you're not invested in delegating, then there's only so much I can do, you know, because you have to be able to say, I can trust Karen with this task on a regular basis or whatever, right. You know, and if you can't do that, then it's, you know, it's that much harder to work together because, like I said, it's that trust thing. And if you can give that to me, if you can explain whatever it is you need to explain to me, and we can, I can show you that I can do it to your standard, and we can go from there, we're great. But like I said, it has to start with that initial, because I've run into a few people who've come to me and been like, Karen, I've really got to be more organized. And, you know, let's do this and this and this. And I'm like, OK, that sounds great. And I never hear from them.
Yeah.
Because they're disorganized.
That's the cruel irony of getting someone like you to work with somebody, is that if you have a propensity to not follow through or procrastinate, or you're just someone that's just so disorganized, the likelihood of someone like you getting into their lives and starting to work with them is even less. It's just the irony of it. So you have to be even more driven and more persistent to get them to start working with you.
Well, sometimes in that case, I would honestly recommend you look a little closer to home. Not everybody has a friend or a relative that would be available in that context, but right. I've known a lot of people who've schlepped their own kids. I mean, that's how I started, you know, and spouses and things. I've actually had several people say recently, well, I'm going to teach my wife to edit. So, I mean, just, you know, different things like that. I mean, yeah, I don't really chase. I hear so many times that people would love to work with me, but I can't really chase you down. You know, you have to be willing to do it. So, yeah. Again.
Yeah. One of the other things that's really important, and I guess you do this too, do you handle domain administration and website hosting, or do anything with social media?
I do social media stuff. I don't really do too much directly with the websites. I've written content for people, like I've written posts and I've done site updates and like the minor things. Like I know, you know, if you want to translate it into car terms, how to change the oil and how to make sure that, you know, the bits aren't falling off. But the actual bones of the stuff, I'm not going to say I have any skills there. I can do little things. But anyways, I've done some social media teaching, how to teach people how to use the basic stuff. I've written, like I said, I've written content for people, like a couple of people who had a library of YouTube clips of stuff that they'd done. And I said, you know, hey, it was an honor to voice this video for this awesome company, you know, whatever, you know, things like that. I do social media posting for somebody who does a podcast. I do, you know, all those sorts of things. And I up until recently written a weekly blog too for my own self, but that's on hiatus at the moment because I needed a little break.
Yes. Well, it sounds like you're as busy as I am, but at least you're focused in one particular area, which is kind of important. Do you have any neat tricks that we might not have thought us to keep us better organized? Devox asks one of his many questions.
Well, let's
Time's
see.
Up. True. The cookies are ready.
I thought I turned off my ringer.
Oh. I was no, very ahead. Confused just, there for a second.
As were we.
Okay. Well, neat tricks. You know, it's a lot of the little things. For me, one thing that I've done recently is I downloaded a timer app that I can set multiple timers. And what I'll do is, since, you know, I sit on my butt all day, I will set a timer for an hour and I'll work for an hour and then I'll get up and I'll take a 10-minute break and I'll go do the dishes or whatever. And that way it's not only is it better for me in the body sense, it's also better for me in the work sense because I get a chance to take a break and like refresh mentally. So you'd be amazed at how much that little stepping away for a couple minutes will really help you refresh your energy, refresh your motivation to just, you know, whether you're editing or whether you're voice, I mean, obviously you don't want to stop in the middle of a voice track, but you know what I mean, to come to the next piece that you have to voice, some things like that. It makes a big difference if you schedule those breaks, because it's easy for us to sit there for 3 hours, you know?
Oh, that's and then so not realize. Important.
3 hours?
6 hours, 10 hours, whatever.
Yeah, I mean,
many hours.
Man, scheduling breaks, and we were talking earlier about using calendars and writing things down. I use my calendar like a you know, those puzzle games where you have to put all the things in order or make an animal, and you have to slide the little pieces, you know, around a little plastic thing. That's how I use my calendar sometimes, because I will sometimes either procrastinate something or something else will come up that's hot. I call it juggling, you know, the higher hot irons, and one fire is hotter than another. Oh. So that ends up preempting something. So that thing you should have done, you didn't do. It needs to get done later. So instead of just making reminders all over the place, I will just move it in the calendar. And things like Google Calendar and iCal and stuff, very easy to click and drag an entry and just move it down the day. And so you make sure you're always making holes for everything, but include lunch in there and include breaks in there. I mean, it sounds anal, but man, it's worth it.
Yes. Yeah, you almost have to be that anal because you're your own boss. You're the only one who's going to give you a break, you know?
And I rarely do, or do it too much sometimes.
At the end of the day, you're toast. You're just fried.
It's a balancing thing. Not too much, not too little.
Yeah. Do you ever... go ahead, Dan, sorry.
No, Catherine was asking, what was the timer app you found?
It's a timer app called Timers for Me, the number 4. And it's just, it's a free app. I'm on an Android, so it's I don't know what the iOS equivalent would be, but I'm sure if you just type in timer app, you know, you'll come up with a bunch of different stuff.
Different things, sure. I mean, it's like egg timer. You know, I mean, there's an app for that.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Yeah, there is. George, you had another question?
Well, somebody mentioned this thing called NeatScan, Paul Hambrick. Yeah. Do you ever use or tell people or to try using these scanning devices? I think that they make something called Neat Receipts, something where you shove your receipts into the document feeder and then it scans them in.
I've heard of those sorts of things, but a lot of people use them for business cards. Something I think called like Card Munch. I personally have never used those, but I can imagine how useful they would be. I'm a little old fashioned in terms of keeping track of documents and stuff. Cause I have like a spreadsheet and a bag full of receipts, but you know, it's that whole like individual thing, making something that really works for you. Cause if that works for you, then awesome.
Yeah,
good stuff.
For organizing business cards, of course, you know, Deb Irwin came up with this great one at FabCon. Just put them all in a key ring. Yeah. Oh, look, there's your dad's card right there.
I have a 2-drawer filing cabinet for business cards, and it's totally packed.
Wow.
It's a little teeny, tiny, tiny filing cabinet.
Just in case you don't think I don't keep your card.
Anthony Gettig also says, what tools do you use when you're collaborating or, you know, working with your clients? Do you have a preference? Do you use Basecamp or Dropbox or Google Drive or something like that with your clients?
It depends on the client. I've often used Dropbox. Dropbox is a personal favorite. Mm-hmm. I often also use WeTransfer.com because for some of my less technologically able clients, it has a very simple interface, so they can usually send me files without a lot of trouble because sometimes people have problems with Dropbox. And it really depends on what we're doing. I try to work with whatever they're comfortable with. Because you know, we all come from such different backgrounds. Everybody has a different level of technical knowledge and comfort. So I find my best strategy is to work with them based on what they are used to.
Right. And if they're not used to anything, then that's probably almost maybe better in some ways, because now you get to build it from scratch, you know, and make it the best way the first time out of the gate.
Yeah, I haven't run into anybody like that yet, but that would be kind of a
refreshing
moment.
Great. Well, Karen, thanks so much for being with us tonight. This has been absolutely fascinating stuff, and stuff that I guess a lot of people don't really think about because they're too busy wondering about what's buzzing in their audio.
To the ground and to the grindstone all the time, you know.
And they are, and it's like, well, you gotta make it happen. So we really appreciate that you're doing that. Once again, how can they get a hold of you?
KarenSauer.com. And my email is Karen@KarenSauer.com. So anytime, be glad to hear from you.
And if you can't remember that, you have some serious organizational problems. Anyway.
That's S-O-U-E-R.
R.
Correct. Yes, S-O-U-E-R. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We'll make sure that is also available in the show notes. Thanks for being with us tonight. It's been wonderful, and you're looking great.
Great fun. Thank you so much. See you guys again soon.
All righty. Well, we've got just a little bit more left. enough that you want to stick around for, so please do so. We'll be right back here on East West Audio Body Shop, so do not go away for a second.
VoiceOver Extra, the voiceover industry's online news, education, and resource center 24/7. Hundreds, probably thousands of free how-to articles for voiceover success, ranging from home studio to voice acting to business. A free voiceover industry directory, calendar of industry events, resource links, a store, and much more. Bi-monthly webinars on all topics of voiceover, free subscriptions to newsletters, reports, announcements, daily news, and features at voiceoverextra.com.
Are you suffering from technophilia, the disease that affects 2 out of every 5 voiceover artists?
Oh my God, the adapter for the iPad and Apogee mic comes out today. I gotta get one, right now.
You see, for the average technophile, it is impossible to not know about and have the latest technical product available.
That's it. I won't eat this week and I can afford the new Avalon VT737SP compressor. That will make my voice perfect.
If you are a sufferer, come to EWABS every week, where George Whittam and Dan Leonard, the renowned experts in the field of technophilia, can get you back to reality and living your life again. Log on every Sunday to East West Audio Body Shop at 6 Pacific, 8 Central, and 9 Eastern. Do it direct. Do it collect. But do it today.
Oh, geez, all these wires. Just get them out of here. Anyway. I need to get better organized technically, too. Yeah, but anyway. Guys, you got to know by now, because you've been watching this show for 121 episodes.
No kidding.
Of our first and favorite sponsor. Well, he's not our favorite. Well, all our sponsors are our favorite. But, you know, a guy who's close to our heart, Harlan Hogan, and voiceoveressentials.com. It is the holiday season, if you haven't noticed. If you go into any store or turn on the radio and you're hearing, you know, the dog singing jingle bells, it's a good time to be looking for gifts for your favorite voice actor or somebody else that you know that, you know, you want to use their microphone, so you buy them a microphone. But Harlan's got them over at voiceoveressentials.com. We've talked about the VO1A, which makes a great gift. But there's lots of little neat gifts that he has over there, like the ABS, the thing that keeps your microphone boom arm from falling over because it holds it up. And
right.
And of course, a porta booth. What a great way to, you know, tell someone you love them by giving them something to go travel with. but it'll help them a whole lot while they're out traveling.
Exactly.
I'm not making fun of this stuff.
I know. It's just the way you said it just made me laugh. I don't know.
I know. That's why I said it that way. But anyway, go on over to voiceoveressentials.com because you just got to sort of like go through this menu of great stuff he's got there and say, you know, my friend, the voice actor, would probably really like one of these.
Yeah.
Or, you know, I didn't get one of these myself, so perhaps I could buy one for myself. And there they've got it at voiceoveressentials.com. So go on over to voiceoveressentials.com. Look at all the stuff there. If there's something you want, buy it because it's all at a great price and some of it's very unique. And if it's for somebody else, it's at a great price and they got lots of stuff that's unique and you can buy it for them. But just tell them we sent you.
Exactly.
That makes it easy. So go on over to voiceoveressentials.com. In case you didn't get the URL for that, it's voiceoveressentials.com. Harlan Hogan, all the voiceover stuff you could ever possibly need. And if he doesn't have it, you don't need it. To steal from Garrison Keillor. But anyway, that's the word on voiceoveressentials.com. So go on over there, especially this holiday season, and get your favorite thing for a good price.
Thanks, Harlan.
Thank you, Harlan.
Appreciate your support going way, way back.
It's it.
From the very beginning.
This show would not have been possible without him.
That's right.
All righty. Let's see. Well, we got to thank all our sponsors.
That's right.
You know, like Harlan and VoiceOver Extra and Edge Studio. And make sure you follow us on Facebook and Twitter and subscribe on YouTube. Folks, look, if you can't make the show, I mean, I send out an invite every week. You're probably noticing even more of them, which is why more people are actually showing up to this now. If you get invited and you can make it, please come and show up live. We love having you here. We love having you in the chat room. Mm-hmm. But we are available. All 121 episodes are available on YouTube. So if you missed my talking about, you know, different types of microphones, or George talking about acoustics, or this, that, or the other thing, it's all there. So all you have to do is go over to YouTube, go over to the EWABS channel on YouTube, and it's all there.
That's right. And if you don't find it under EWABS, you might find it under the channel Dan Leonard.
Don't ask why.
Yeah, I know. It's a funny YouTube thing. If you type in EWABS in the YouTube search, and then any topic you can think of for a home studio, right, you'll find an episode about it.
Right. Also, if you want one of these, the official East West Audio Body Shop clickers.
That's right.
You know, and if you've asked for one, it's on its way, trust me. Mm-hmm. Great way to make sure you mark your cotton, you know, your audio. If you make a mistake, you do that. Puts two nice big lines in it. $5, and we will send it to you no matter where you are.
You know, this thing may seem silly, man, but I tell you, I've told people about this thing, the idea of using a clicker, and they're like, oh my gosh, that's brilliant. And when you see like the distinct marks it makes in the file, I mean, it couldn't be more pronounced. You sit down and you see that dash in the file, and you know exactly where the edit is.
Yeah, because usually it's like it's two. Mm-hmm. And that usually helps a lot. I mean, you can hit the M key on your keyboard, but
yeah, but if you don't have the keyboard in front of you in the booth, you know, if you fly without a keyboard, or you don't want to have the computer or any of that stuff involved, man, this is the way to go.
I wonder if Carol Spencer Morgans has shown up by Mari Warrior Battlecraft yet. We've sent it to Australia. I had to fill out customs forms to send these to Australia.
Isn't that ludicrous? So
I'm like, this guy in the pose, here, got to fill out a customs form. They're clickers. Fill out the form. So,
oh, man.
They're on their way, trust me. We'll send them anywhere in the world, and I will fill out the customs forms. They're $5. We've got is the thing still on the
still on
our
the
website?
Front page. Yeah, still on the front page.
Front page of our website. You see it there. Click on there. You can order one. Everybody needs to have one, because when we run out, they'll be worth a whole lot more because they're collector's items.
And we'll probably have new logos, because we are taking logo submissions.
Oh, that's right.
For new logo ideas. So
we've only gotten one so far.
Yeah, we need to get that ball rolling. But before you put your time into logo submissions, you better make sure you go to the ewabs.com and fill out the ewabs best of 2013 viewer submissions form and tell us what you guys want on that last show, because I'd really like to get those in by December 15th. So I have some time to put all that together. So this is the week to do it, guys. So don't drag your feet anymore. Let us know. Go to the YouTube channel, jump around, look for stuff that you remember being funny, and let us know what you want. We'll put it in there.
Yeah. Somebody suggested the assembling the studio suit booth at
VO Peeps.
at VO Peeps, which I thought was actually pretty good. Yeah. After watching that one again, I think that one's worth throwing in there.
I agree.
that was a lot of fun. But we've had some great guests on here who've said some great stuff. We've had some very interesting times happen. Lots of digital problems that are going, size requirements. We don't care. You can put it on the side of a building. We don't care. As long as it's we're looking for a good logo.
Yeah.
That's the most important thing.
Yeah.
But for the best of show, we had a great time with it last year. We've done an awful lot of shows this year. There's been a lot of great moments. Just sit down and think, as opposed to whatever it was you were planning on doing tonight. And think, what was one of the best shows that they had this year? And what was a moment that was really fabulous? And right, you know, go onto YouTube, find the exact time, list it down on our webpage, because we have a spot there, do we not?
Yes, we do. Right on the front page is a very simple form, three fields, type them in.
You've thought of everything. We'll get that on, because we want to put an hour of some of the best stuff in there, and we need you to do it, because we know it was good stuff, but we don't want to make all the choices. We want to have the stuff you want to see.
Exactly.
There. All right.
So who's on our show next week? Do you know? Because it's not on the show notes.
It's not on the show notes here.
Catherine. Catherine.
Yeah.
Are you in there in the chat room? Tell us.
Tell us who's on next week. Let's see. Next week is somebody was coming on.
Yeah, I know. We had people booked through the end of the year. It's just escaping me right now who was our guest next week. So
Well, we'll let you know whoever that was.
We'll let you know.
She'll tell us before we
Rob Siglampaglia.
Oh, Rob Siglampaglia. How could we forget him?
Thanks, Kathy.
Yes. So, you know, we'll talk about end of the year tax strategies and stuff.
Yeah.
Which would be good. Because we had our business manager and our accountant over here last week. Mm-hmm. And she's like looking at, you know, all right, you recorded the income, expenses. You really need to learn how to put down the expenses. And they're like, well, I got receipts, you know, they're.
I got a pile of them here too.
I know, but, you know, just enter them in QuickBooks and life is a lot better.
Yeah.
Speaking of organization.
And then December 23rd, Jason reminded us that we're having a holiday hangout. So
a holiday hangout.
We're doing a hangout from my folks' house.
That's right. You're going to be in Philadelphia, and I'll still be here. Mm-hmm. And my apologies to the folks in Toronto. They have their VO and TO meetings the first Tuesday of every month, and I said, oh, I'll be there. I'm like, oh, wait a second, that's a Monday night.
Oops.
So I couldn't do that.
They should know better. How dare they?
I know. So so Pat will come home, see that in replay, and go. I'm sure they had a great time there. They had the three Amiibos there tonight. I'm sure they were putting on a great show because they're great kids.
Yeah.
See, now I can say, now that I'm getting rolling down towards 60, I can say that. Because compared to me, they are.
And then we have the end of the year show, which is on December 30th. That's our best of. And then the first show of the year next year, Bob Bergen. And I know we're going to have some interesting topics to discuss for sure.
Absolutely. With Bob. He's got lots to say on lots of interesting things, and everybody respects what he has to say. So we'll have that. So I guess that's going to wrap it up. We have any other tech issues we need to deal with here?
Yeah, I want to go eat dinner. That's my tech issue.
It sounds good to me.
I can smell chili through the door.
I can smell it here. that must be damn good chili. Anyway.
No doubt.
So that's going to end it from this week, but we will be back next week, as we said, with Rob Siglampaglia. Our thanks, of course, first of all, to our wives who put up with this each and every week. Also to, of course, Catherine Curridan, our crack producer, who's done a great job for us.
Yes.
And Anthony Gettig and Jason Lawson and Lee Penny for their production assistance. But most importantly, all of you guys, because you show up every week and we just love it. Otherwise, why do it? That's the best part about all this, is that we know you're out there and we enjoy doing this for you and getting that information across to you. Any last words, sir?
That'll do it for me, man.
All right, works for me too. Well, in that case, I'm Dan Leonard in the East.
And I'm George Whittam in the West.
And together we are
East West Audio Body Shop.
All right. Make sure you, if you can, go sign up for my webinar tomorrow night on VoiceOver Extra. Anyway, have a good night, everybody, and see you next week.
Good night, Dan.
Good night, George. And good night for EWABS.